You may have seen the headlines as they burst upon us a couple of weeks ago about a huge amount of information that had been gathered from a law firm in Panama. I think it was like 1.7 million pieces of information that was just grabbed and sent all over the world. And the upshot of it was that this took the blinders off, or I should say pulled the curtain back, on enormous amounts of money that were being laundered by some of the world's leaders, among others. Somebody who has been very close to what's been going on in Panama is our guest here this afternoon. His name is E.J. Rolfstad, and he is writing a book called The Bloody Truth About Living and Working in Panama. E.J., thank you for being with us.
Nice to be here, Foster. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you. E.J., what's your purpose of doing this, and how close were you to the information that was spread abroad?
Well, I lived the last 10 years working and living in Panama as an expat, and I had various companies and businesses in Panama and other Latin American countries over a career of 16 years in Latin America. Mm-hmm. And so I've done a lot of business with various law firms, including Mossack & Fonseca, which is the firm that's getting all the free publicity these days related to these documents.
Yeah, right, exactly. Were you... Go ahead.
I had various corporations and such with them and other firms there, and I understand pretty much the whole offshore world to a degree after all these years. And so after 10 years of kind of seeing the inside of things that are contrary to what you see in the press or seeing all the marketing of Panama, I think my book's going to be an interesting addition to what's out there to shed light on what's really going on and isn't going on in Panama.
Tell me something. It says The Bloody Truth About Living and Working in Panama. The word bloody there, tell me what's the connotation of that?
Well, part of that comes from so many of my friends there are from the British community. So
okay, I thought that might be the case.
It's a good British phrase, but it also, there is some actual, a lot of kind of nasty history in Panama just in the last 100 years related primarily between what's gone on between the U.S. and Panama, both in the canal history and also, our invasion of there in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that are going to come out in the book about both the history and then how they impact the current life and doing business in Panama.
Yeah. EJ, if I could ask a question, what's the difference between the typical investing of offshore money and a tax cheat?
Well, again, there's a lot of misinformation coming out about all of this. Obviously, there are a lot of people that use offshore jurisdictions like Panama to hide money or to take money from one jurisdiction, usually their own, and put it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't necessarily for any kind of criminal behavior. I would say, basically, the only crimes that are involved in this current affair were basically. That it is shown that money was stolen in these various countries by political leaders or by wealthy people, and then it's taken and hidden behind corporate or foundation veils in Panama in the bank accounts and through the law firms. And I can attest that without a law firm, it's going to be very hard. It's very hard for any kind of foreign entity to get a bank account in Panama. So the law firms are the key to this.
E.J. Rolfstad is our guest, and he's going to be publishing an account of this whole money laundering empire. It's called The Bloody Truth About Living and Working in Panama. I understand you're going to do this in a serialized form.
Yes, because it's been in a work ongoing, and I felt that because of current events happening that I needed to push up this part of the book more quickly. So the idea is to... because it'll be published online in digital format, I can basically publish it chapter by chapter as I finish, and it could become even a collaborative effort by people that, as I go chapter by chapter, people will send me questions, and I'll be able to even be more current or more up to date on answering what the people want to hear about.
Are you in danger?
I don't think I'm in danger, no. But I'm going to be I'm not going to be sensational about this. I don't believe in spilling the beans just for spilling the beans. And it's not going to be the National Enquirer of Panama.
You're not the Edward Snowden in this case, are you?
No. I'm not on the inside of Mossack and Fonseca. I mean, I was their client, and that's it.
Okay.
But I do think that there's enough about the general, what the world needs to understand about this is that there really was no crime as to what Mossack and Fonseca was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The crimes were committed by the people that stole money and then took it to Panama and used Mossack and Fonseca to set up corporations and foundations to hide their
their
ownership of those assets. So, I mean, this is not being offshore. A lot of people think it's a nasty business or it's dirty.
Okay.
And a majority of it really is not. A majority of it is not what I call money laundering.
But the bloody truth is, it's dirty.
Well, some of it is, and unfortunately, when some of it is, people think that all of it is. And I think that that's part of what I want to define in my book is to the difference between what's dirty
but
and what's not.
The reason I ask if you're in danger, EJ, is that it's kind of interesting that the three powers who have so far kind of said, or kept quiet about it, or have kind of poo-pooed it, are Russia with Putin, the U.S., and China. And it's like, when I look at that, I think they're going to try to put the cap on somebody. They don't want much more information getting out.
Well, of course not. And yet the horse is already out of the barn, so I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do much about that, except for they just want to keep quiet and see and handle it as it comes out, I believe. The main question is who stole this information, because again the information was stolen from Mossack and Fonseca, and so to that degree I will defend them as to the fact that even if they were dealing with some nefarious people, which obviously you could call some of these world leaders somewhat nefarious, if they were indeed involved in these groups of hiding billions of dollars from their country.
Sure.
And they're just politicians. I mean, the world has to start calling on the carpet all the politicians that are coming into office and leaving with billions of dollars, including in Panama itself. That's been happening.
Absolutely. What's kind of interesting? We're talking with E.J. Rolfstedt, who is the author of a book that's being developed right now called "The Bloody Truth About Living and Working in Panama," kind of behind the scenes of the Panama Papers that have come out. I was interesting. I talked with somebody who is a security expert who said that the hack of Mossack and Fonseca, the legal firm that had all this information, was actually pretty primitive. It wasn't super, high tech.
No, I understand. It was just through a app with WordPress, that was open to get into their whole system, through the WordPress system online, and wasn't that simple or wasn't that hard to get through. I haven't verified that, so that's what's been reported.
And as I say, the person who told me that was somebody who is a security expert. Cal?
How did they get the money to Panama? Is it gold bullion? Was it currency? How did they get the money there?
Well, I think a lot of the money, the big money that you're seeing, for example, what's being reported as a group of Putin friends and associates who all have big foundations and corporations there. I mean, one guy's like a cellist musician.
Yeah.
I don't know how he becomes a billionaire, but and he claims it was... it was some kind of contribution or, I don't know. But, again, there's all kinds of stories how they do it. But I think it's done primarily through bank wire transfers. I mean, a lot of them come from sources that are known in the country, but the sources aren't necessarily what the original source was of the funds.
Right.
And I think that's what's coming under scrutiny.
But I thought in the U.S., for example, if we were going to look at some of the ones that they have, I thought anytime you move more than $10,000, the IRS immediately knows that, and there's questions to be answered
within the banks here. I think, but if it goes overseas, it maybe is it different?
Well, it's going to leave this bank, and it's going to be a transaction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anything leaving the U.S. is obviously under heavy scrutiny, especially most recently through the FATCA laws and everything else, which Panama was very quick to sign on to. And the truth is that when Panama signed on to the tax agreement with the U.S. and FATCA, all of a sudden any Americans living and working, including myself in Panama, were shoved out of the banks and shoved out of action in Panama. Because what FATCA did was made the Panamanian banks and the Panama authorities work on behalf of the IRS to report any activity, including corporate activity, of any American in Panama. And so therefore, we were the only ones in Panama that were shut out of banks and everything else or denied accounts because they didn't want to have to go through the quarterly reports and I don't blame them.
All right, AJ, we're going to have to pass right now and just keep on looking. Where would we go online to see this story developing that you're writing?
www.ejrolfstad.com. ROLFSTAD.com. EJRolfstad.com.
We will post it on our homepage. EJ, thank you very much for uncovering this for us, and we will continue
Thanks,
to
guys.
Watch your story unfold as well. Thank you so much.